Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 10, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter August 10, 2020. If the government is unable to think about the future properly, then society has to realize on its own that our work will be reduced to necessities and will transpire more via communication means. The same for children's and students' studies. It's a shame to waste energy and resources on the attempt to bring back the past. People are still demanding the jobs that they lost due to the coronavirus. They are still confident that everything will return to the way it used to be. They believe that the government is able to arrange and compensate everything. No one is telling them that the past won't come back. Many more people will lose their jobs. What kind of people will be valuable in the future? Those who benefit the society and teach unity. All attempts to return to the old life will not end in success. On the contrary, we're going to suffer blows with every attempt to turn back time. These blows will teach us, and us, point to a new direction, to be closer to nature, meaning to achieve integral unity. The childhood period is over in which nature raised us, with soft spankings like small children. It's time now to realize what we must do. Only through the unification of hearts will man be able to unite with nature and feel in this connection a new life. Herein lies the true revolution. We're living in a new era, and the old one won't be coming back. It is therefore pointless to sit and pine for the old life, like an old man crying over memories of his young self. That time is gone. We have been kicked out of the previous state, and the door was shut behind us. There is no going back. We're going to have to discard all fabricated systems, companies, banks, industry, commerce, education, and transition to a new system. We have grown sufficiently so as to now consciously transition into a new state of bestowal, taking the reins into our own hands. Conflicts will continue to flare up in order to bring us to a single solution. Love will cover all crimes. Every person will need to make room a bit to give enough space for everyone else. That is how we will create a common space between us, a circle made out of our mutual concessions, which will have enough space for the Creator and for everyone. The Creator is the amalgamation of all qualities that I correctly organize into a single image, resulting in the Creator's revelation. We must take care that there's a place for everyone. If we destroy the birds, crops will perish. Nature is set up in a way so that its various forces, combined together in the right way, create perfection. How long must we suffer before coming to the realization that we can only change our lives by changing our attitudes and making them good? Nature will keep pressuring us, until we realize this. Nature will not allow us to get used to the current existence. After all, we humans are the only harmful element in it. The blows suffered from the coronavirus will ultimately force all humanity to submit and settle down, realizing that this is the handiwork of the upper force that will not allow us to do what we want, neither the right nor the left. We're going to have to submit to the influence of the third force, the Creator. From Twitter, August 10, 2020. The first step to form the Creator. I am not canceling my opinion, but I want to build an area where all desires can exist, all intentions that belong to everyone. I am not canceling anyone, they all came from above. The Creator wants everyone, from fascists to socialists and communists, all types of people, characters and styles of behavior, created by the Creator. I am not canceling any of them or myself, I only look for how we can connect. Indeed, in our union we reach a common higher root. In oneself, one must abolish only hatred for everyone, develop an understanding and feeling of others, and the desire to recognize them and give them a place next to oneself, since by our correct unification we point to our highest root, one, unique, and unified. This root is the same for everyone. And it is the one and only, because it is from this point that so many different properties emerge. According to my egoism, I would like to cancel everyone. But I understand that this is not correct. Selfishness is called helpmate against me. That is, it helps me understand that I must go against it. In my egoism, I hate others because they are not like me, but I must understand that this desire to hate my neighbor gives rise to the desire to bestow in me. Looking at the other person and hating him, I understand that if I make a little room and give him a place to exist in my heart, then by doing this I will perform an action similar to the Creator. Thus, the Creator moved aside, hid himself, and provided us with a place for existence. Nullifying your egoism is the first step in forming the Creator. I cancel a part of myself in order to make room for others, my opponents, opposite opinions, and by doing so I make room in me. First, I want to take over the whole world and rule myself. But then I make a cut and give space to others. We make mutual concessions, them and me. Only in this form can I build something true, correct. After all opinions for and against come from the highest root, and by making room for them, I provide a place for the disclosure of the Creator. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson August 3, 2020, Love Covers All Transgressions. Life is a balance of good and evil. Opposition parties and trends want to destroy their opponents, but they do not understand that they cannot exist without each other. One should not destroy the other, but rather connect correctly in order to create, by mutual concessions, a place for a third force, which is common to both of them for the Creator. By my willingness to make room for someone else, I force the Creator to reveal himself. This is the only way to achieve pluralism. These are not just beautiful words, rather this must come from the understanding that this is how nature works, and we will not survive otherwise. Everyone is obliged to give place to other opposing currents, respect the opinions of others, and not against one's will, but out of the awareness that this is how the world is built. We will never be able to destroy the opposite point of view because by destroying the enemy, we are destroying ourselves as a result. I must take care that the enemy exists because in this form he helps me uncover my opinion. All of nature exists on the opposition of plus and minus, creating life in all possible forms. Therefore, I must be ready to accept everyone, from the most left to the most right, from opponents to allies, because this is a consequence of the development of human society. All I need to know is how to make the right mosaic out of all these forms in order to see the true humanity in it. In this form, it comes from the side of nature, which creates all sorts of qualities within it, from which we can know the creation and learn how to exist well and happily. Otherwise, we will fight continuously, like little children. We do not live, instead we are just busy trying to hurt each other. I have no right to think about destroying any current, after all, I am not the Creator. This desire is a sign of corruption, disagreement with the Creator's program. There is room for everyone, but only if we do not destroy each other. This means that even the angel of death turns into a holy angel. He does not cease to be the angel of death, but with his help, the holy angel rises and the two exist against each other. If one current destroys the other, then it itself has no basis for existence. Therefore, it must make sure that there are opponents. One cannot be without the other. The world is based on a balance of good and evil, and good people exist because there are bad people. It cannot be otherwise. Both exist in order to create a place for the revelation of the Creator, the source of both of them. If we descend from the human level to the biological level, we will see that our body has many systems designed to destroy cells and purify the body because without this the body cannot exist. Life is an interweaving of good and evil. The body is a dynamic system that maintains balance all the time, and this is called life. As soon as the balance is disturbed, the body dies. Anything in the world exists to maintain its opposite. Initially, There cannot be just one side, but one can be more noticeable. All systems already exist, and there is room for everything, only some can be revealed to us, more and others less, according to our nature. Our task is to balance all these systems, and their final balance will mean the end of correction. At the end of correction, all evil and all good are revealed, and we see that what seemed to us as evil was actually good. This is when we reach perfection. The coronavirus and other problems awaiting us will lead to such an explosion of hatred that humanity will begin to destroy itself. Therefore, we need to convey to people that in our society, in the environment, in the system of Adam HaRishon in which we exist, there is nothing superfluous that can be destroyed and removed from the world. We just need to organize the correct mutual connection between all the opposite parts. This makes everyone wiser. One understands the other, the opposite opinion, and realizes that it is impossible without it because they support each other. Imagine that all the 150 countries that exist in the world suddenly realized that they need each other. They all need Russia, America, China, Japan, Europe, and Africa. Then how the world would have changed, how much would it have saved in resources, money, and the costs of weapons and the military? We will soon see that without implementing this principle, the world is simply rolling into an abyss. We will find ourselves increasingly dependent on each other, but we will not be able to unite. Everyone should understand that any phenomenon has a place in the world. All the opposite movements and forces need each other and must treat each other well because the upper nature obliges us to this. Therefore, it is necessary not to destroy and eliminate the enemy, but rather to exist together against each other. It is in the correct opposition that the possibility of existing at the upper degree is revealed to us. In fact, this is why the opposite forces are revealed in order to oblige us to rise to the next degree. There again the opposing forces will be revealed, which, if we treat them correctly, will raise us, even a degree higher, to their cause. Thus, we will rise until we discover that the cause of everything is the Creator, for whom good and evil mutually support each other, and there is no good without evil and no evil without good. In general, good and evil disappear, and everything merges in the Creator. We all have different opinions. And we do not change our opinions to someone else's, like two people sitting in the same car and arguing which way to go. We cannot find a solution this way. The only solution is to reveal the Creator through mutual concessions, and He will already show us further direction. This direction is not the one indicated by one of us, or the other, but the one that is generalizing all our opinions. This is why the Creator is called generalization. He will lead us in His direction where all our opposites are connected into one whole, where there is no opposition and everyone is equal, everyone is good and is in love and unity. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson August 3, 2020, Love Covers All Transgressions. Black and white and everything in between. Who is my opponent? Didn't the Creator create him? Doesn't his power come from above? By acknowledging his right to exist, I acknowledge the Creator. All my work is to reveal the Creator through adhesion with him. But the Creator is a collection of all aspirations, desires, qualities, which I organize correctly, collecting the image of the Creator in this mosaic. The Creator has no image and form besides the one that I will collect from all the details that He created and provided to me. Therefore, just to destroy any phenomenon in the world is the greatest crime. Let's detach ourselves from our emotions and judge objectively. How can all the forces in the world, which, of course, come from the Creator, be combined into one system called Adam, human? Of course, all forces must be included in this system from the most negative to the most positive ones, from the left to the right, from black to white, all the minuses and pluses, and everything in between, like in our body. If we do not fall under the influence of our emotions and we think reasonably, then it will become clear that there is a place for everything. This is the answer to the question of how to solve today's problem in the world when some people hate others. After all, we see what unrest is taking place in America and Israel, where the opposing sides want to destroy each other, erase each other from this world, without leaving even memories. And this is very bad. We must take care for everyone to have a place. Neither one nor the other can exist without such pluralism. If you shoot wolves, the sheep will also die of disease. If the flies would be sent to destruction, the harvests would be ruined. It's forbidden to do this. Nature is organized in such a way that although different forces are opposed to each other, they create a place for perfection with their correct combination. Perfection is the result of the right connection between everyone. There is no good without evil, and evil exists only to reveal good. And we need to build the same relationships between people in human society. The upper force entrusts us to explain this to the whole world. This is why it brought us to this organization, supports us, and gives us strength. We just need to try to understand it better and better every day in order to match this process and the upper program more and more. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, August 3, 2020, Love Covers All Transgressions. My new article on LinkedIn: If I don't take over, no one will take over. Imagine yourself out on the street in the middle of a protest. On the road are the demonstrators, protesting against this or that injustice. Across from them are the police, representatives of the hated government. In a street corner near the protesters are the others, those who side with the government, who feel that the protest has no merit. The air is thick with hatred. The tension is about to snap. Neither side will concede, neither will compromise. It is either me and my view or no one and no view. If I don't take over, no one will take over. At times, the hatred is more overt, at times more covert, but it is growing, bubbling under the surface. We cannot tame the hatred, but we can learn how to work with it, how to funnel it constructively. Today, it's at a boiling point. If we don't learn to channel it soon, it will erupt and destroy everything in its path. This is where we stand today. At times, the hatred is more overt, at times more covert, but it is growing, bubbling under the surface. We cannot tame the hatred, but we can learn how to work with it, how to funnel it constructively. Today, it's at a boiling point. If we don't learn to channel it soon, it will erupt and destroy everything in its path. There has always been hatred because there have always been opposite sides. Our fatal mistake has been that we have tried to demolish the other party instead of uniting over the disparities. We didn't realize that destroying the other party meant destroying ourselves. We didn't notice that everything in reality has its opposite, because we can only discern and define anything against its backdrop, its opposite. For this reason, whenever we waged war against our opposite, we either lost the war and perished, or won the war and perished still, because we didn't have an opposite, so we, too, could not exist. The only way we can exist is if we maintain balance with our other side. Unless we make room for all views in existence, there will be no room for any view. The purpose of the contradicting views is not to determine who is right. They all come from the same source, from human nature, so how can one have merit if it denies the merit of the other one? The benefit of having opposite views is that the conflict between them forces both parties to search for their cause, and then they realize their common root. Only then can they unite. And when they do, they find that this is how all of reality works, and in that, they find the unity that pervades all of nature. And that discovery of unity is the reason for the initial oppositeness and hatred. New Life 1259. A World Without Money.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Dr. Lightman, hello, everyone. Owen, and today we'd like to talk about a world with no money. The topic in and of itself sounds kind of delusional, but still, on our discussion today, I like for us to let go and, you know, allow ourselves to think about these things from the most simple place and the extreme assumptions that economists do, financial experts. They're saying that it's possible that what we're familiar with to this day will suddenly disappear. It could happen in one way or another. These are things that I don't want to get into, but it's possible that we'll get up in the morning and find out that the banks, they collapsed, and the millions that I had in the bank, they're worthless. Money is gone. The concept of money is gone. It's less important to me, can it really happen? It's really less important how will it happen. But together with you, I'd like to somehow understand, how can we act if suddenly something like that will happen? And in order to understand that, I want to break it down slice by slice, and I'm saying in advance, let's let go of all that we're familiar with and assume that this happened. First of all, why do you think that to begin with, people invented money? Because it's possible that they've invented money for a certain reason that will have to exist even if money tomorrow will collapse. Why did we invent money altogether? Dr. Lightman, kesef in Hebrew comes from the word kisuf, kisui, meaning the ability to cover for all of my needs. And this depends on the measure to which I invest in society and the world and different things for which I get this cover for. Were I to live by myself, I'd need no money. I'd, you know, accumulate food, furs, other stuff, have a storage, and live my life. And today I have people that live similarly on some deserted island or something. But because I live in a society, and from one day to the next, I have to provide for my different needs and who knows which, then I need some kind of cover for all of these needs, and therefore there's money. Meaning, something that is equivalent in everyone's eyes, that has a precise value of an equivalent, and then I want to have a cover for whatever I need, and I work for it. Owen, the need to cover for what I need will remain. It's a natural need, actually, right, Dr. Lightman? Yeah. Owen, so it will remain in the future, too. Dr. Lightman, of course. Owen, so even if we depict a hypothetical situation where maybe if tomorrow or in a year the entire economic system breaks down, still, and money's gone, still man's need for some kind of equivalent will remain to cover for all of his needs. Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, and if money disappears, what will we have? Dr. Lightman, but I'm not talking about money in terms of, you know, the bills or coins, but a kind of cover for my desire to be able to cover for the needs for whatever my desire wants. This is what money is. Oh, and so up until now, since we have developed money, bills, coins, whatever you had in the bank, this is what promised that you will be able to do this. If tomorrow the monetary system collapses, money's gone, what will people use in order to cover for this inner basic need? Dr. Lightman, they'll have to invent something. Oh, like what? Dr. Lightman, I don't know. I think that all in all, we have a government, we have a country, we have the military, the police, the government, wise people, that will have to determine and make it so that everyone, no matter, doesn't matter how things used to be, but that everyone from now on will have the ability to cover for their basic needs. You have an ID card? Oh, and I do. Dr. Lightman, so you could come to some big storage and, according to your ID, fill a cart with all your necessary groceries because you're a citizen, Olin, and this will cover for my basic need to provide for my basic needs instead of money. Dr. Lightman, yes. Olin, okay, so advancing to my next question. Hypothetically speaking, a world without money, is that possible? Dr. Lightman, of course, of course. But, society wants to demand of a person in return some kind of labor, some kind of work. Someone has to make all of these necessary things that each of us needs. Oh, and of course, Dr. Lightman, to fill your cart like in a supermarket. So who's going to do all of this? We are. So we'll have to work, and maybe not all of us are genuine people. And so someone will have to write down, what did you do for a society, and accordingly, it'll be written down, and accordingly, your needs will be covered. It's a kind of salary, only it's a salary that you don't get in bills, but that it's written down someplace, Olin, that gives a person the ability to take whatever he needs in order to live his life. Dr. Lightman, or maybe an even more advanced society where we don't write anything down, but we only make sure that a person has this inner willingness to do whatever he wants for society. Oh, and it's a society that's more advanced morally, that a person became more moral, that he's honest, that he won't allow himself to, you know, avoid doing things for society. It's a high level. Dr. Lightman, what can you do? There are several more levels to advance to. Olin, okay, now after we in general said that a world without money is possible, that it can happen, now I want for you to help me to understand, if the concept of money disappears, how will we evaluate things today in order to know what is something's value? You ask, how much does it cost? It could be the efforts that you put into something. It could be a million different parameters at the end. It comes down. It's measured by its price. Value. If tomorrow there is no money, how will we measure the value of things? Dr. Lightman, the value of man or what he has to produce or what? Oh, and both. How will we measure the value of assets? Today I'm looking at a certain asset and I say it's worth this and that. I look at a certain worker, I say, okay, he's worth so and so. Anything around you today, if you open your eyes and look what's around you, the table, the car, the people that you're talking to, everything at the bottom line nowadays, we have no other standard to measure what is it worth. Even a person's mind, you know, I'll tell you, I have here someone who's brilliant. It's good for you to take him, for him to work in your organization. He'll push you forward. It's worth a lot. Could be in everything, in anything. Today we have no other standard but money. If money collapses tomorrow, how will we measure things? Dr. Lightman, with money? Oh, but suppose it's collapsed. The monetary system collapsed. Dr. Lightman, so you'll have to find some kind of equivalent. Oh, and what could that be? Dr. Lightman, I think that it's going to be written down in different places or in a central place, doesn't matter. What does a person do? What does he produce? What does he use for his family, for himself? And it'll be clear to us, to all of us, until we will reach such a state where a person himself will have the problem that he will, his problem will be how to keep himself from not receiving from society more than he needs. Oh, and why? Why will he do that, Dr. Lightman? Because he'll have a greater reward from giving than from receiving from society. Oh, and it's not measured by money? Dr. Lightman, no. It's measured by the recognition of the eternity of nature. Oh, and who pays this reward? Dr. Lightman, nature itself. Oh, and with what coin? Dr. Lightman, a feeling, with a feeling. Oh, and what will a person feel? Dr. Lightman, a person will feel that he belongs to that upper force that is nature and that it is worthwhile for him to do so. Oh, and why? Dr. Lightman, because by that he acquires eternity, the eternity, wholeness and perfection that exists in nature. Today, if you want to buy a car, you're told, look, it's good for you to buy a car from a private person and not some from rental or where or some company, because even if that car served a driver that took it for leasing from his company, he didn't, you know, really take care of that car because it wasn't his. I just gave this as an example because this is related to everything, actually. In our mind, we have this concept that if something's not mine, I can at least keep it, care for it. Here, you're describing the opposite situation. Dr. Lightman, of course, because public property, in my eyes, is worth much more than my private property. Because for the sake of, or in return for public property, I can get a much greater reward. Feeling of the innerness of nature. I come to public property knowing that by it I can ascend in feeling wholeness, perfection, eternity, the innerness of nature that I'm living in a way that, how that, you know, help me, leasing or not leasing, that's a completely different calculation. Olin, with what coins is it by how, Dr. Lightman, lights and vessels, I don't know how to put it, that I start feeling that I belong to the global eternal nature and that I am a part of it. Olin, to this day, a person worked in some place. His boss paid him. Here we depicted a world where the concept of money disappears. No problem. Still, two main things will have to exist between the individual and society. Society will have to allow a person to come somewhere and take whatever he needs for himself and the family. On the other hand, an individual will have to contribute his share to the collective. Suddenly, there's a third factor that you call nature. And you say that it pays with different kinds of coins. It pays me with a feeling. You said you will feel. Allow me to understand, what is this feeling and what can I do with it? When I have money in my pocket, I know what I can buy for it. What are the coins of nature? What does it pay by? What can I do with the coins of this feeling? Dr. Lightman, we're not talking about necessary things like food that's, you know, a basic need, or a place to live, all your basic needs for the family, you know, the normal thing that a person needs. We're not talking about that. We're talking about things that a person has, like in a kibbutz, for example. And the thing is that a person's asking, where am I living? What am I living for? Why? And what will I be paid for my life? How can I reach the feeling of the innerness of nature, the wholeness and perfection that exists in nature? How can I feel myself existing in the whole, complete, and eternal nature? And here there is an opening to come out of the limited world, a world that starts and ends only with his life, because he lives the life of a beast. He's like an animal. And from that, to live to a degree where a person lives the life of his soul. And that all depends on the measure to which a person prefers the social system over his personal own one. Oh, and this wondrous mechanism you've just described, this is actually what promises that even if the concept of money collapses, still people will keep functioning because they will be paid beyond what you said, that they'll have their basic needs, they'll have like this bonus. Dr. Leitman, they don't need money at all. They don't. Because if I get what I need, to have what I need in my fridge, and something to wear, and a bed to sleep in, everything else, I will want to work to the benefit of society, because for that, I get from nature a feeling of wholeness and perfection. I feel myself existing in a limitless world. Owen, this payment that nature gives you, what does it depend on that you'll be paid by nature something and I'll be paid less or more? How does nature measure who to pay what? Dr. Leitman, hard for me to say because it depends on your root, on your soul, on your efforts, on the measure to which you have received forces from nature, your forces, and I got forces from my nature. Accordingly, I'm demanding one kind of exertion and you're demanding a different kind. Owen, what about how a person feels? Today you look at someone, how do you measure him? You measure how much is he worth. If money collapses, how will a person measure himself? How will people measure other people? By what standard? Dr. Leighton, they won't exactly be able to measure. Oh, and why, Dr. Leighton? Because no one knows the soul of the other. Oh, and how's that related? Dr. Leighton, a soul is the inner efforts that a person makes for the benefit of society, because no one can really measure what efforts it costs him, what kind of obstacles does he have to overcome. Oh, and that's amazing. Can you explain? Dr. Leitman, I was born weak. You were born strong. I have little powers to deal with this life, and you, to the contrary, you're smarter. And so on and so forth. No one person is like another. How can we measure the efforts of the soul of a person, his inner efforts? It's impossible. Also, people change from one day to the next. Yesterday I was healthy, whole, and uplifted spirits. Today, for some reason, I am in the pits. Who could say how much strength did I have yesterday to invest in something and how much do I have today? But as if I have to be paid for my investment. Yesterday, when I was weak, I invested much more than for the same work, than what I invested for the same work today, because I was healthier, happier. And then there's no one that can measure these things. Oh, and so how will nature pay me, Dr. Leifman? Nature knows, because I am a part of the system of nature, so I have no problem. I know that I'm in the same system, and I will get exactly according to a precise and just calculation. Oh, and today, a person who's smart can make tons of money. Whether he opens up a startup or he'll be, doesn't matter. Wherever he goes, he'll make lots of money because he has a sharp mind. So it turns out that nature, sorry for the expression, but screwed part of the people. If my neighbor's, if I'm smarter than my neighbor and I'll make much more money than he does, in a world where the concept of money collapses, you said, there are two levels. On the basic level, every person has his basic needs have to be met, like in a kibbutz. I understand. On the other hand, he has to contribute to society as much as he can. Okay. But nature, who will it pay more to the more successful because he has, in advance, better parameters? Dr. Leifman, to the one that relatively invests more. That's it? So if you're smart, but you're not investing like I do, that who's less smart than you are, then even if I did lesser work than you did, but I invested much more forces and efforts, and so I deserve more. Dr. Owen, so it's possible that there's a person that, he seems like, really unsuccessful. But he has a tremendous soul, and nature will pay him greatly, and no one will know, no one will feel, and he can't really see him contributing to society. He's not a big scientist, doctor, Dr. Leifman. True, we don't know this, especially that it has to do with previous incarnations and future to come incarnations. Who knows altogether what is his role in this chain where he passes through in his connection with other souls, to the measure to which he influences them, they influence him. Well, and so we can't really measure each other, Dr. Leighton. We can't. Here, the calculation is only with the heavens. Owen, I want to ask about nature's coin, what we call the coin of nature. You said, it will be a feeling. Nature will pay you with feeling. You'll feel it in your soul. You'll connect to the wholeness, perfection, and eternity of nature. These things, today, whoever has lots of money, what is that actually? It gives him a status in society because everyone appreciates him. It gives him the ability to buy things. It covers for all of his needs, his children's needs, and so on. These coins by which nature will pay people, the coins of the soul, let's call them, what will it give me? What will I be able to cover with them? Dr. Leifman, for everything, it's an eternal coin. God forbid, who knows what's going to happen with your children, grandchildren the next day, and how will coins help you? Today, they exist, tomorrow they don't. And here, you're really with a bank account which isn't in the Bank of America, but it's the bank. Olin, why is it eternal? Why can't this account collapse? Dr. Leifman, because it's nature in and of itself. It's nature itself. You're in the round system of nature. This is where you act. This is where you're registered. This is where you get a response from. It's all there in that one place, and there is no other place. Olin, if like in a kibbutz. I lived in a kibbutz, so I'm familiar with all the collective different forms of society. And the kibbutz that I lived in, for example, there were good people, really. their children mostly left the kibbutz. Their grandchildren, totally, they left the place. By the way, gossip. So much gossip, you can die only from listening to the gossip that goes around there. And, you know, so many things changed there, but one thing is that it didn't work. Let's face it, with all the good desire of our grandparents who built it by their own efforts, it didn't work. All kibbutzes are ceasing to be kibbutzes. Why would it work? There's nature that's like this big brother that supervises everything, and you can't be a slacker, Dr. Leitman. This is exactly the difference, that here you have an upper boss that takes care of everything, and everything is in his hands. He keeps everything, your life and death, your children, your family, to cover for your livelihood, for everything. Everything is in his hands in one box. And you're his servant. But you can cease to be a slave and become a master because you determine this by the integrity of your heart. Oh, and on the one hand, it gives a feeling that it is impossible to lie. On the other hand, it gives a kind of strong confidence that it doesn't matter who you are, Dr. Leitman. It's all in your hands. If we open the system to ourselves, that's great. Heaven. That's called heaven. Oh, and Dr. Leitman, thank you very much for everything. Dr. Leitman, good luck. Owen, thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Disconnection of Communities, Part 6. An idea that covers all contradictions. Question: what is the highest idea that can leave the communist, the ultra-orthodox, and the reformist in their opinion, and at the same time, unite them? Answer: we must understand that we have completely different roots because we are originally from the 70 nations of ancient Babylon, which became the basis of the modern nations. If we understand that we are all different and the roots of the nations of the world can't be removed from us, as they are the natural force of life and lie somewhere inside each of us, then all we have left is what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, to rise above these roots in a mutual aspiration toward a new base, where we will remain in connection, love, and mutual respect for each other that we have created. Therefore, the connection that we are restoring between us must prevail over our disconnection. That is, on the one hand, we will always be in contradiction and in a natural distance from each other, coming from our animal roots, like those who came from the 70 nations of ancient Babylon. On the other hand, we must unite our efforts over these contradictions in order to build a new base. And then the two levels will coexist, one, natural, animal, and the second, artificially created by us, spiritual. One will cover the other, as stated, love will cover all transgressions. For more on this topic, read my books Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, August 12, 2019. My environment today is me tomorrow. Question: it is said that my environment today is me tomorrow. Do you agree with this statement? Answer: of course. We see how the environment affects us. Man is born an utterly small, helpless, wild animal. Gradually, under the influence of parents, and then of a wider circle, he goes through educational institutions, school, the street, neighborhood, and so on. He watches a lot of programs on television, on the computer, and eventually becomes the way we see him in society. If he did not receive this influence from the environment, he would not be fit to live in our world at all. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020. Kabbalah and the relationship between a man and a woman. Question: when a man and a woman form a couple, does their fate become joined or are they initially on different sides of the barricades? Answer: there are no accidents. You don't choose anything, including your partner. Everything is preordained. The only choice there is, take a step forward or wait for all sorts of circumstances to push you. Question: if a woman has a difficult relationship with a man, can Kabbalah help her? Does she still have a choice? Answer: you will see that something can be changed, either the man, the circumstances, or yourself. But this will become clear later. Question: it turns out that by studying Kabbalah, a woman can understand this? Answer: sure. Kabbalistic knowledge changes her, and thus she feels that she is beginning to move closer or further from her partner more and more. Then the decision is born by itself. Question: this decision is born by itself because it already exists? It just surfaces? Answer: absolutely correct. Comment: to understand it, to accept it, and to live it is both simple and difficult. My response: but it's interesting. From CAB TV's Together About Important Things, July 14, 2020.